thankful for the song service and for the rich blessings God has granted us all the days of our lives. And just pray that God will continue to be with us today and our services in the preaching hour, in the lunch hour when we have fellowship. And pray that God would be with us in our conference time this afternoon after lunch. So very thankful you're here and would ask a continuation of your prayers that God might bless me to speak the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that it might really be a help to every one of us. For the entire year since we began in January 1st, and I've only spoken on it once, prayer has been very much upon my mind, and the power of prayer and the power of prayers offered up in the Bible. We know that Elijah earnestly prayed and that it wouldn't rain upon the earth, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And then he prayed again and it did rain. We spoke last Sunday about some of the difficulties we have in praying. First of all, many of us probably don't believe God will answer our prayers. We're to have faith and doubt not, as it says in Matthew chapter 21. We're told in Luke chapter 12 not to be of a doubtful mind. I heard Elder John Melvin several years ago preaching, and he said, I believe everyone in this congregation believes in Jesus Christ. I'm just not sure they believe all that he had to say. I believe we all believe in Christ, but do we really believe what he says? Do we believe that prayer makes a difference in our life? If there's ever been a time in my lifetime that we need to pray for our nation, for the things that are going on, it's now. Now, this unrest has been seen back through history among God's people. It's not new, but there are things happening today that are different than they were a number of years ago, and it's very easy to take it lightly and to say that this is not of significance, but I really believe it is. There's been a turning away from God's word over the years and from the moral teachings of his word. And when we see that tendency, we see that sin rises up and morality seems to go by the wayside. We know that in the Old Testament it talks about a day when they will call good evil and evil good. Very well may be the day in which we're living today, maybe such a time as it's been in times past. But prayer is something that I believe is instrumental to the child of God. It's spoken of over 500 times, that word prayer, prayed, or praying in the Word of God. It's an important subject. You find it throughout the Old and the New Testament. And I believe it's something that we certainly need to do. It's our connection unto God, our Heavenly Father. You know, when you were children or you had children, if something happened to your child out in the yard or out in the pasture or somewhere around your house, let's say, for example, maybe something fell on that child, maybe the child broke its leg, whatever it might be that happened, that child began to cry out for mom and dad. We see it, and we've probably done the same thing. I remember some times when I was a little kid like that, and those things happened. We cried out for our mother and our daddy. We cried out for help. We're going to look at some of that here in just a little bit. You know, sometimes when things are coasting along relatively good in our lives, do you ever have a tendency like me not to pray as you ought to pray? To get busy? You know, that song said, don't forget to pray. Is it possible that we forgot to pray? Last week I talked about the substance of our prayers. You know, the consistency of our prayers. I probably don't pray often enough. I admit that. I'm not as constant nor as consistent in my prayer life as I should be. But I believe prayer is one of the most powerful things in the hands of a child of God. It's when he cries out to his Heavenly Father for help. Now, there are things in our lives that happen. I know they have in mine, and I'm sure they have in yours, that drive us to the throne of grace unlike any other events in our life. I've been through those events, and I know some of you have. There can be many different things happening in a person's life, but I tell you, there are things that happen. There is trouble that comes that you cry out to your God and your Heavenly Father unlike at other times. This is nothing new. You know David in the Old Testament? We see numerous times. We see a time when David was disobedient. He defied God's commandment. He looked upon a woman, Bathsheba, and he liked what he saw, and he took her, and she became pregnant. It was another man's wife. He committed a great sin. The prophet Nathan came to David, and he told him of the wrongs that he had done in a parable, you might say, of a rich man and a poor man, and David knew that Nathan was talking about him. You go to Psalms 51, and you'll find that David is pouring out his soul over his disobedience unto his heavenly Father, over the sins that he had committed. Then we find in 1 Samuel, as we mentioned last week, a young lady who, I know this happens to many young women in life sometimes, they have trouble bearing children. Sometimes it might be a problem with the woman or a problem with the husband. It can be either or. But sometimes it wears and tears upon a young lady that can't have a child. It really does. Hannah was just that way. You know, Elkanah was married to two women. Peninnah, I call her, I probably pronounced that wrong, and Hannah. One of them had many children. Peninnah had many. Hannah had none. And it tore at her, and it ate at her. And she went. After the annual feast, she went and prayed unto God in the presence of Eli the priest. And when he saw her, she was uttering words, but there was no voice coming out of her mouth. She wasn't saying anything. She was just moving her lips. He thought she was drunk. That's what he come and asked her, what kind of strong drink or how much wine have you had? And she said, I've had none. She said, I'm pouring out my soul unto the Lord. You know, there's a difference in getting up and going through a little short prayer every morning or forgetting to pray, and I've been guilty of this a great deal in my life. But I'll tell you, there are things in our lives, there are troubles that can come to you that will drive you to the throne of grace, and you won't even have to think about it. We're going to look at one of those prayers. We find another time in David's life when he became very depressed. You know, depression is something that is found in the Bible in Psalms 42. David was being chased like a fugitive by Saul because of Saul's jealousy. He went many days and many years without being in the presence of the Lord's people and being able to go up to the house of the Lord and worship the only true and living God, his heavenly Father. And this was very sore upon David. It was. It says he poured out his soul unto God. He asked himself, why am I cast down this way? So we have reference to many times in the Bible where folks went to the throne of grace. They were driven there, and it wasn't hard. When some tragedy happens in your life, you'll find that God, if you're a child of God, there's nowhere else to really go. I know this from my own experience, and we see it written in God's Word. We're going to look at that for just a little bit, and then we're going to wonder why it is that in those other times, we don't pray as we should, or we're going to at least look at how we ought to pray. There's a time in the child of God's life that going to the throne of grace is very easy. Just as your little child, when they got hurt, whatever they were hurt from, would cry out for mom and dad. Things can get so bad for us that we cry out for our Heavenly Father. We're going to read in Psalms 77. A situation by a man, Asaph, who offered up a prayer here that I think sometimes every one of us, I certainly know myself, have found myself to fall in this condition. It begins, and he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. I believe that the prayer that's being offered here was an outright cry. It was an audible cry. The situation was a situation of depression and distress, and he had nowhere else to go. He had nowhere else to look. It was unto his God that he looked, unto his heavenly Father, just as you was a child. When you get hurt, or your little two-year-old gets hurt, or like my granddaughter gets hurt, the first thing they do is look for their mother or for their dad. This was such a situation with this man that he cried out loud unto his God twice, over and over. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. I want you to listen to the words of this prayer and ask yourself, does it relate to you at any time in your life? Have things gotten so bad for you? Is life gotten so hard and so rugged that all you know to do anymore is to cry out, God, be with me. God, help me. He says, in the day of my trouble, Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. We spoke of that last Sunday, how the troubles never stop coming in our life, and they don't. I don't care how big a trouble you have, it won't be the last one. It certainly probably wasn't the first one. Some troubles seem to be bigger troubles or greater storms than others, but the troubles don't stop. You think you get beyond one trouble and maybe there'd be nothing else that bad in your life, but if you live long enough, it's very likely that a trouble of the same degree will come. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. He gives us a picture here of somebody that had a sore on them, and it was oozing all the time and it wouldn't heal. And there was excruciating pain coming out of this sore. This may be a nothing more than your mind and your soul, but this is the comparison that he gives us. This man who was in distress and deeply troubled, whatever the trouble might be. Have you had those troubles in your life? That you cried out to God and there was no one left? You know, I know when we're brought to the end of our way, regardless of how we get there, there's no one left but God. No one can comfort you but God. And even in those times, sometimes it's hard for God to comfort you. You know, there are people who get upset and angry and they wonder why things are like that. This is how this man was, Asaph. It says, the sore ran in the night and it ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Have you ever been there? I have. I remember the time. I refused to be comforted. That at a given time, there was nothing was going to make me all right. Because I knew what would make me all right was not going to take place. God guided me. He directed me. Even when I didn't know it. But I can understand what he meant when he said, my soul refused to be comforted. Friends, you may very well find yourself in that place one day where you've been brought to the end of your way. I don't know what your circumstances may be. It can be a long list of things that affect us in this way in life. But when we do, we won't question how our prayer life is. We won't. We will be driven, if you would. We will run, if you would, to the throne of grace, seeking God and his help. Because we know that there is no other help but the Lord. Sometimes when the sailing is smooth and the waters are calm, we don't see that. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Now, that doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like it means. He remembered the good old days, the times past when God was richly blessing him. The times were easy. The waters were calm and still. Troubles were not upon him. He remembered those days. Do we not all? Do we not remember days in the past when God was so good to us and God filled our lives, and maybe now he's wondering, why am I in this condition? Why has God let this happen to me? You know, I hear people say that all the time. Why has God allowed this in my life? Why did God allow Job to suffer the way Job suffered? But he never charged God foolishly. But I'll tell you, he went through a terrible time in his life. One far worse than I ever went through. He lost all his children. He was covered with boils. And this was a real man just like you and I. This is not some fictitious character that did not exist. Job was a real man that walked upon the earth just as you and I have. Who carried these burdens. When Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, I tell you, there's no one could have made a statement better than Job about that fact. Troubles are with us from the beginning, and they'll be with us till we close our eyes and go home to be with the Lord. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know, our spirits can often be overwhelmed by the difficulties and the troubles that we face. Sometimes we don't think straight. We don't see straight. We lose our perspective. And I tell you, it's easy to do. There's folks sitting here today that I know have went through those circumstances in their life. But I'm telling you right now, our prayer life is extremely important. Not only when we call and cry out for our Heavenly Father because great troubles have come into our life. But we need that connection. We need to speak with our Heavenly Father every day. Just like every time you need help from your dad. Not because you was in just a case of distress or despair, but it was your earthly father who helped you through the struggles and the small difficulties of life. We even need that from our Heavenly Father, not just in the day of great tragedy. Because I tell you, when we have that day in our lives, we don't question where to go. We will go to the Lord. If you're a child of God, you will go to the Lord. It's instinctive. It's in us. Our soul yearns for the Lord. We have something in us, the Spirit of God, that yearns for our Heavenly Father day in and day out. And when great troubles come, we will flee to our Heavenly Father. It says in verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." You know, I think of this. When troubles happening to you in your life, if God grants you the ability to sleep, it's a great mercy. It was in my life. It was the greatest mercy in my trouble that I ever knew. Because for a small period of time, it was not eating on my mind day and night. That is a great mercy. But this man here said, "Thou holdest mine eyes open." He said, "I can't even sleep." He says, "This sore is running and oozing night and day." Can you imagine the tremendous pain that this man was going through? His heart was hurting. His soul was empty. He had felt God had left him behind. That's the condition he felt in at this time. He said, "I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times." I believe it's natural that when we fall into a great and difficult time, that it is very easy to reflect back upon the times it wasn't so difficult. The times that God was blessing us in a mighty way. Regardless of what we were doing, we look back upon those times. Many times we call them the good old days. Or that's what folks call them. But it is great blessings. But this man is crying out for the Lord. He's in excruciating pain, if you would. His heart and soul. He says, "I call to remembrance the song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made a diligent search." He says he can't sleep. He's got a sore, a hurt in him, like a sore that's oozing and never won't quit oozing. It goes over and over and over. Have you ever been there? If you do, you can relate to the condition that this man was in. He goes to verse 7. And I know there are folks that get plumbed into this condition. "Will the Lord cast off forever? Does his promise fail forevermore?" Have you ever felt that God, you're in such a condition that God has abandoned you? Even though the Bible says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Have you ever lived in such a time or an age or under such a trouble that you thought God had left you there by your lonesome? Even though you knew in your heart and mind that he was very close? That's the condition this fellow was in. That's a condition that I've seen in my own life at a given time. It says, "Is his mercy clean gone forever?" Jeremiah tells us in the book of Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. God's mercy, but God who is rich in mercy for his great mercy wherewith he loved us. God was not merciful, but he felt that way. This is the sore travail and the sore pain that this man was going through. This is the condition that oftentimes we can get in. And when we get into that condition, we will flee to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. And I said, "Is this my infirmity? But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." You know, over in Psalms 42, David, when he was in that desperate condition and he was depressed, and he said, "Why is my soul cast down? Why, soul, art thou cast down?" In other words, why is his countenance this way? Why was he in the condition he was in? He said, "I'll hope in God." You know, sometimes we lose sight of God in our affliction, in our difficulty. But I tell you, there comes a time when we pray unto God and we begin to wonder why things have went so awry in our lives. Things seem so hopeless. These are the times that we go to the Lord and we don't even question it. We don't think about it because times are so hard that we have no one else to flee to. He says, I will meditate also on thy work and talk of thy things. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great? A God is our God. There are times that we all get in this condition, I believe, that we're driven to the throne of grace, or we flee to the throne of grace because the heartache, the trouble, whatever it is in your life is so great. It happens. It's not just the tragedy of death. It's a loss of business, a loss of friends. There's so many things. It's unlimited to what can happen in your life to bring you into this condition. David was being chased by King Saul, who he never done anything to, and he got into this condition. David committed adultery. He was disobedient to God, and he mourned over his own sins. Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. We find also a time that David had not taken care of his children. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. This is an amazing thing. He was no different than you and I. And he's the only person in the Bible that it tells us was a man after God's own heart, David. Yet he tells us in 2 Samuel 23 and 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he. You know what he made reference there to? I believe in the antitype of Jesus Christ, it had reference to the church also. But David's house was not right. It was in disarray. His oldest son raped one of his daughters. One of his sons, Absalom, was out to kill him, wanted to be king, and he was going to put him to death. Now, this is a house of disarray. Can you imagine the mourning that was brought in David's eyes when he went to the throne of grace and he said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made an everlasting covenant. He looked back upon his God, our Heavenly Father, and he understood that there was hope in God when there was no hope in this world. We need to pray. And we need to be serious about our prayer life. I began thinking about prayer at the beginning of this year. I thought, do I pray enough? Do I pray often enough? You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and it says, after it spoke of peace, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's very important that you understand what that just said. When we pray, when we earnestly pray, and when we pray as God told us to, oftentimes you will have a peace about whatever's going on in your life that even you won't understand. You might even be amazed to think that I'm getting through this difficulty as well as I am. Because it says it's a peace that passeth all understanding. We don't understand it. But it's a peace that we get from God when we commune with the Lord, when we're connected with the Lord, when we have conversation with the Lord as God calls upon us to do. It says that this understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is that not what we want in life? Is our minds and our hearts kept under control? That when the storms come and the great difficulties of life come, and they're coming, that we're not cast out into the world and with no hope. And even though the pain may be real, and it is real, the mourning is real, the crying is real, yet God will give you a peace that you won't understand that will keep your mind and your heart through the greatest of a difficulty. I thought a lot about prayer, and I thought about this nation and the unrest that we see and we continue to see. I thought about broken hearts and broken families. You think about the church, there's no end to what you and I need to be prayerful about in this day and in this time. We talked last week about doubting and praying, believing. You know, when we look at Mark 9 and the father whose son was vexed with the devil, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believest. The question is, do we believe or do we doubt? I know that I've had a lot of doubts in my life, especially when I prayed. Would God really hear my prayer? Would God really do anything for me? You know, it's easy to get in that condition. You know, I think about how I pray. Not just how often, but how do I pray? You know, Hannah and David, when you get in a condition like the folks we just spoke of, you don't have to question how you pray. You'll pour out your soul, heart and soul to God. You will cry out for your Heavenly Father. But it's when things are going pretty good. You know, I used to get up in the morning, and even at certain times, I'd forget to pray. Like the song says, did you forget to pray? Did you think to pray? There's no end of what we ought to be praying for. You know, some might say, well, God knows what you stand in need of before you even think it or ask for it. That's true. But Paul says that all men are to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands and not having any doubt. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we're to pray without ceasing. Regardless of what our Heavenly Father knows, we're called upon to pray, to communicate. It's an open line with our Heavenly Father. And I believe this country needs prayer today as much as it's ever needed it. I believe our churches today need prayer as much as they've ever needed it. But they need prayer with substance. They need prayer that's thought about. You know, Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6, there are three things that he mentions there as he begins that chapter, and that's the giving of alms, praying, and fasting. In all three, he directs us to do that without being seen of men. In other words, we're not to go out and make a show where somebody will say, whoa, look at that man, he's giving to the poor. What a great and wondrous guy he is. That's not how the Lord operates. That's not how the Lord directed you and I to operate. When you pray, we have a public prayer, but most of our prayers, if we're praying as we should, are not in the presence of a great congregation. You know, the Pharisees like that. They like to go out and stand in the street corners and pray and be seen of men. But he said to go into your closet, to shut the door, to ask him in secret, and he'll reward you in the open. But another thing that we must understand about prayer is, Jesus said that you will not be heard for your vain repetitions. Not your reputation, your repetition. What does that mean? What is a vain repetition? It's an empty repeating of oneself. I believe one of the greatest problems that I've had in my prayer life, and I believe many of us had, is the failure to meditate and think about our prayers. Have you ever jumped up in the morning and just give a quick prayer and thought, well, you know, I got that done. I got that taken care of. We ought to be thinking day in and day out what it is we need to pray for, who it is we need to pray for. There's no end to that, but do you think about it, your prayers? He said you will not be heard for your much speaking. It's not about long, drawn-out prayers. Now, I don't think that verse is teaching us to pray a very short prayer every time. What that verse is teaching us, that if we don't give some thought to prayer, if we don't really consider what we're praying for and who we're praying for and what we ought to be praying about, it can become empty repetitions, or you can just continuously repeat yourself and there's no substance to your prayer. Have you ever given any thought of that? When you get up in the morning, if you do pray at that time, or if you pray at night before you go to bed, do you give any thought about what you ought to be praying for? You know, none of us can pray for everything that we ought to pray for in one prayer, I don't believe. We can't. My mind, I won't remember it all. Sometimes I take a broad brush and try to include it all. But Jesus said that our prayers are not to be empty, that they're to have some substance to them. We're to think down in our hearts and souls about what we're praying for and who we're praying for. And if we believe and we don't doubt, Jesus will answer our prayers. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. If you have faith and doubt not, do we have the faith it takes, or do we doubt? I know that I've had a lot of doubts. Prayer is so important for each other, for our families, and for our lives. There's a power in prayer that you can find in nothing else. God is able to do above and beyond what you and I ever think, whereas you and I can't do it. We need to pray for the sick, mentally sick, physically sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. You notice there it didn't say necessarily heal the sick. It said it shall save the sick. It shall deliver the sick. How God chooses to deliver you and I from whatever sickness we have is God's sovereign right. But he says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Jesus said, have substance to your prayer. Don't have empty prayers. Paul tells us again in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing but in everything. That goes hand in hand with the teachings of Solomon. Solomon said in Proverbs 3 to trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Is that not in everything? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not he might, he shall direct your steps. He shall direct your steps. Is that not what we're looking for in life? Is God to direct our steps? Be careful for nothing. Pray about your job. Pray about the circumstances that you're facing in life, whatever they might be. There's nothing that the Lord does not want to hear from you about. Pray, Lord, cleanse me from this unrighteousness that I have a hard time with. Help me with the weaknesses that I have. Deliver me from whatever it is that's causing me to sin. I mean, there's no end to what you and I ought to be praying for. Every day to our Heavenly Father. But we need to think about it. What hinders us? You know, we're told that the prayers of a husband and a wife are not to be hindered. But things hinder our prayer lives over and over. Not just husband and wives. Life hindered my prayer life. I got busy. You jump up in the morning and you're just trying to get yourself together and get going. And all of a sudden, if you ain't careful, you've not allotted enough time to earnestly pray, fervently pray. And sometimes I think it's because we don't believe prayer will really be that great a benefit to our life. Will it really make a difference? Will you really see change? I tell you, doubt's a strong thing. And Satan's there to help you doubt even more. To doubt that God will do what he said. You know, he's there in the very beginning and he's the father of lies and he continues to have an influence on God's people. He says, be careful in everything by prayer. That prayer means worship. That will be your communion and fellowship with God more than any other time in your life if you pray on a daily basis. We do come to church 52 times a year, and if you add a few meetings, you know, but when you consider there's 365 days, we're not together that much. We're to enter into our closet, and we're to talk to our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Do you want that peace? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know of anything better that I could have in my life, honestly, than not to be disturbed, distraught, torn up, or whatever it is over the circumstances of my life, the troubles that are coming, because we know they are. It doesn't mean you'll never suffer another ounce of pain, but it means there'll be a peace in you that you will not understand, because it passes all understanding in human minds. That will keep your hearts and souls, your minds solid through the trouble or the difficulty. He says, be careful of nothing by prayer, by worship and supplication, which is bringing your petitions, your desires for yourself and for others before the throne of grace with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We've always got something to be thankful about. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful every morning that I get up. Because God has blessed us to see another day. You know, everything else may not be right. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Do you get up with a mindset to rejoice and be glad in it? Or with a mindset of I hate to face another day? You know, we sang that song last Sunday, Hand in Hand with Jesus. We are kept, our minds and hearts are kept through Christ Jesus. That ought to tell us that our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ in an everyday basis is extremely important for the child of God. I believe we need to offer up prayers for this church, for this nation, and for our families as much as we ever had. We ought to always do it. We don't need to wait for a time when difficulties are so bad and things are so hard. We will go to the Lord in prayer then. I don't have any doubt about it. And we will pour out our souls, unlike maybe we're not now. But the Bible teaches us to be mindful of our prayers. To not be empty repetitions. To just say the same things over and over with no substance or value to your prayers. Meditate. Think about what you're going to pray about before you pray. Think about it a little while. Don't forget to pray. I know that we're busy. Everybody's got hectic schedules. They got a lot to do. But I don't think there's anything more important to the child of God than to pray to his Heavenly Father and to do it every day. And I think the prayer of faith will save the sick. And I think that if we want to see our land healed, as 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place in our lives and in our country. And it begins with the effectual, active, fervent prayer of God's people. I'm going to tell you, the wicked don't pray to God. And you shouldn't expect them to. But we as God's children ought to be praying to our Heavenly Father just like we were when we were little kids calling upon Mom and Dad. He's there. He's promised to give us what we stand in need of and to take care of us all the days of our lives. But you know, we let life get in the way, do we not? We get so caught up in life and in ourselves sometimes that we forget to pray. You know, I don't like preaching political sermons, and this is not one, but you know, there's a lot of unrest in the country. I told my wife this morning, I said, it's just a display of human depravity is what we're seeing. If you don't think we're depraved, just watch some of what's going on, or if somebody tells you what's going on, you'll know that's not from the Lord. It's natural to men. We need prayer in this country. We need prayer for our churches and for our nation. And I know here in Lubbock, Texas, we're not having any great direct effect on ourselves at this present time. But friends, don't for a minute think it couldn't have a great effect on us at some time. But God is able. God is able to deliver us from this situation and circumstances. I know he is. Jeremiah mourned over the condition of Israel. He lamented over them because of their disobedience. Hezekiah was raised up as king, and God spared the land another 15 years before judgment finally came. We need to pray for every aspect of our life. Be careful for nothing and everything. Go to the Lord in prayer. It'll make a difference in our lives. It's something that I've set out to do. It's a goal that I've set for myself, as I have many goals over the years. Goals are hard to attain sometimes. It doesn't matter if it's stopping smoking or eating or dipping or whatever your bad habit may be or good habit. But it takes discipline. And prayer life is something that takes discipline. We must train ourselves to pray and think about it and read God's word and understand how God wants us to approach prayer. I believe that it will make a vast difference in our lives and in everyone around us. So I encourage you today to pray and to be diligent in your prayer life and to give thought about what you're praying for and to be constant and consistent. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It avails something. It makes a difference. It's not just words to fill up God's Bible, the Word of God. It's real. And if we will just believe and we'll doubt not, I believe we'll see great things happen in this land and among God's people. I thank you for your attention this morning. May God bless you.